wonderful woman that came up to be of service today, and this is Lorraine. What's that?
I said I'm on the program, so I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, you're coming to speak, oh, yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You're phenomenal for showing up.
Look at all these people up here.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I have anxiety.
Get it. Thank you.
What's up?
I'm
like, I have anxiety. My name's Anxiety. I'm just kidding. My name's Lorraine. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lorraine. We love you, Lorraine. Lots and lots and lots. Oh,
thanks, guys. So I'm single, so it's going to be a little bit different, point of view. I have been through exactly what all of those three women have been through, but I'm gonna go on a different route. I'm gonna talk about relationships with my family and my friends, because those are the most important right now for me. Because right now I can't do relationships with men. I'm not very, very, not a nice person when it comes to relationships with men right now, because I am learning what they're talking about, you know? My sobriety date is November 16th, 2012. Been sober for a little while, and I'm finally alone. And it's actually kind of cool. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm alone. I don't have to tie down to no one. I get to, like, wildin' out, you know? But not with men, with, like, women. Sounds real awkward. But anyways, yeah. So when I first came into this program, I had the same point of view as most of us, where I'm like, oh my God, girls, women, what am I supposed to do? You know, I don't know how to talk to people, so I was very, very awkward. I went up to treatment up in Wickenburg, and I came down here to Phoenix, and I stepped foot into a sober living, which was a women's sober living. And the first thing that happened was someone gave me a hug, and I was like, what is this? Like I'm very awkward. I'm like, please don't touch me. But I mean, that was like the beginning of what love felt like to me, you know? When I say love, I mean more of an energy that I feel through other people. And I get to experience that every day, not only with like you all, but with, actually I don't have any family. Well, I do, my dad. I get to experience it with my dad. And again, my friends. But when I got to that sober living, I was so scared. I was terrified. And if it wasn't for the people that are in these rooms today, and the people who are in the sober living, I probably wouldn't have been here. Because the first thing that someone said to me was, oh, come to my room and we'll go get ready and go to a meeting. And I said, I don't have a car, so how are we gonna get there? She's like, no, we'll drive, I'll drive. I'm like, all right, cool. And so I just kind of went with it, man. I just went with the flow. The mistake that I did make was jumping into a relationship right away, because that doesn't work. Absolutely does not work, I'm gonna be honest with you. And I've been in a relationship consistently throughout my entire sobriety until up till January. And it's not fun. It's not fun, because once you finally hit that point of like, okay, I really need to work on myself and really take a look at what's going on inside, it can be a little bit like a distraught and a shock to yourself. But at the same time, it's fun to grow, in my opinion. It's kind of scary, but fun, because you don't know what you're uncovering, and it's fun. But with my relationships through my sobriety, like my step work has given me the ability to build and see things that I haven't been able to see before, right? Unfortunately, like my family relationships, some of them are not that good right now. I moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Arizona to actually meet my birth dad, my biological father. And he's been in the program for about 33 years now. And so with that relationship, I can definitely talk about that one, because that one has flourished into something that I've never, ever experienced with a parent or daughter-father relationship. And I am so lucky to have that experience, you know, because a lot of us, like for me, because I'm adopted, like a lot of us don't get that, people who are adopted. But my relationship with my father today is just like, I don't think I would be sober without him. Definitely would not be sober. I've actually probably would have been dead back in Oklahoma. But it's so exciting. Like I get to call him and I get to talk to him and I get to meet up with him on almost like two times a month. But when I got to meet my father, like I had something that was uplifted, and that was that anger. The anger was it was gone. It's so strange because I'm a very angry person, or used to be while I was out there. But when I met him, it was like I found my sense of belonging. And it's so weird because I had my friend meet him like 2 weeks ago. And she said to me, she said, "You guys have like the same exact mannerisms. Like you guys are the exact same. Like it's so strange. You never knew him growing up, but when I see you guys interact, like you guys are literally like mirror images." And I'm like, that's kind of fucking bad. Because he's kind of crazy, but that's cool. But it's just amazing, man. It's amazing that I get to stand in front of you guys today and like tell you about like my relationship with my biological father. My parents back home right now, we're kind of doing this new thing where I express how I feel, and I feel sad because I don't get to see them barely, you know. There's some financial situations that are going on back home which limit their ability to come out to Arizona. And as well as me, like, it's very hard to get out to Oklahoma because it's, for some reason, it's fucking expensive to fly out there. It's like $500 or like $600 just for a plane flight there. But throughout the years, man, I've really got to experience like a sense of love from a distance, I guess you could say. My mom and my dad were trying this new thing where we call each other. Because I don't really talk to them much, and it's kind of sad, honestly. I was talking to my friend who also has the same situation going on. You're gonna have to tell me when to stop because I didn't time myself. Okay, I'm like, but I'm having that ability to like have that open communication with my family again, you know, and like expressing how I'm feeling because I'm not very good at that. And I got to express that, hey, I'm actually really sad out here all alone. Because I'm basically out here alone. I'm really sad out here alone. Can you guys call me more? Because I miss you. I miss you. And so what happened was my dad started calling me more. It was so strange because sometimes I feel like when I don't express the way I feel and I keep it in, what happens is I explode, right? And that's kind of what happened with my sister. And just because I have this amount of time sober does not mean that I'm perfect at all. I'm learning things, and I'm learning things each and every day. And I think about it, and I learn something every day about myself. It's kind of cool. And there's like no cap off. There's no cap off to growth. But with my sister, like my sister back home, it's kind of rough right now. And it's really sad because I really want to be that big sister that she can reach out to and she can come to and she can depend on, you know, to always have her back. But right now it's like, it's not going so well. But if she ever picked up the phone and she hit me up, I would definitely be there in 2.5 seconds because I love her so much. Sorry, I might cry. When it comes to my friends, man, those are my sisters too. I always like to call my friends my sisters because they've really picked me up when I have been down. There's a couple people in this room that have been around me when I was not that nice of a person. They've been around me when I was a very, very nice person, and they've been around me at this current moment. And I know that throughout the years of sobriety, there's gonna be phases for me, and I'm gonna continue to hopefully go to my full potential. And I'm gonna continue to be able to have that relationship with women, to have the honesty, the trust, the fights. Because I said this to my friend one just like a couple days ago. I was like, I kind of like fighting with my friends because that gets us so real and raw together. And then like 10 minutes later, we're like, I fucking love you, dude. You know? It's so strange. It's so strange. They're like my sisters. Like, it's great. And then I get to just build these relationships with them off of a foundation of sobriety. And I was thinking also about this the other day. I don't have any normie friends. I was like, whoa. I don't have any normie friends. I mean, I have one, but he's a dude, so that's probably not very good. But but it's kind of amazing. Like, we get to all look at each other in the eyes and really see each other real raw and hear, you know? I can cry in front of you, right? Well, maybe. I don't know. I almost started crying, but then I was like, can't cry right now, you know? I can cry in front of you. I can sit, for example, with Teslaya, man. Like, I can sit in a car with her outside of her house and listen to fucking emo music and cry. because that's like what we do, you know, we get real raw and like just down to the core. And then once we get down to the core and we get to feel together, and it's very, very, very weird, but also at the same time, like it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that like human beings can connect today, you know, and human beings can they don't have, I don't have to push my feelings down anymore, you know, and I can be honest. And the best thing that I've, the one thing that I did learn in this past 6 months of like being alone, kind of not alone, I don't really know how to explain that, but we'll get into that some other time if you want to talk about it. that always be honest with self. Always be honest with self. Because if you're not honest with yourself, you can't be honest with all of the people around you, right? If you keep it up here, what's going to happen is I'm going to go out there. And I don't want to go out there. And I've been very close to going out there probably in the last year and a half. Whether that was like mental health or relapse, you know? And what I do know is that I need to stay close to this fellowship, and I need to stay directly in the middle. I need to have sponsees. I need to have connection with my sponsor and connection with my God, Mother Earth. I really love her. But yeah, I don't know if that was shit or not, because I have a lot of anxiety. But if you got something out of it, hell yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. And I forgot to tell everybody that these women kind of really just showed up today. And I forgot that you drove all the way from Kentucky. And that's quite a distance. So that's spectacular. So we do have a couple minutes. So the kind of the outline of this meeting is we open it for a couple of questions. If you guys have any questions for these ladies with something that you related to, or you're just curious maybe how they got through something, or how they grew. If you'd like to ask those now, we do have about 3 to 4 minutes to answer some of those. And you want to come up and read your question here? You want to just shout it and I'll repeat it?
I'll just shout it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Any ladies like to?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't talk about this in my spiel, but part of like my madness.
Mandy, do you mind come up here to the mic? Sorry. Thank you. Thanks for waving her over.
Hi, Mandy, alcoholic. So I didn't talk about it in my spiel much, but like a big chunk of my madness was with my high school sweetheart, and we were together for like 4 years. And we would get drunk and like beat on each other. And for a long time, like I didn't think it was trauma because like I did things too. The other women also talked about this, like trauma therapy is great. It sucks, but it's great. From an AA perspective, you know, like a very thorough 4-step with resentments and then a very thorough fears inventory helped me a lot. And then in those moments, like, you know, because like I have worked a lot on fears with men and resentments towards men. Like I came into sobriety and like had this mission to myself for a while of like, I'm gonna make men feel the way they made me feel, right? And like, that's not cool. So instead, like, you know, sometimes like you might just need to like have like women in your life at all times until you can address that trauma to be around men again. And that's okay, you know? It's cool that you're in treatment, like you're in a safe space, you know, and you're here in a room full of women, which is a very safe space, you know. So like set yourself up, you know.
Yeah, I'm working step 4 and like I have sponsored stuff, so
cool.
I'm like trying to get there, but just to like write that shit down.
It sucks. Right. Right. And that hesitancy about like writing things on paper, like I was told, like, why is it such a big deal to write things on paper when those same things have been in your head anyways? Like, you're still thinking about them. The only difference is like you're visualizing the words. That's it. So like push through, because your life's going to change. And at one point in life, you'll meet a woman that's been through what you've been through, and you will know exactly why you went through that, because you will save her life. So thank you.
I need like somebody to co-sign. So it looks like we have time for one more question. Is there anybody else that has a? Well, we got two.
Can I just shout?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll remember to repeat it. So I'm going to repeat the question just in the mic. If you guys are wanting to buy the speaker tapes of the whole conference, they're going to be outside of this room at the end of the conference. But you're, just to reiterate, your question was, what do you do when you feel those feelings and you want to push them down? You start covering them up with kind of outside resources that in the result maybe don't really cover them up. So if, Lorraine, if you're open to coming up and answering that question in the mic, that'd be great.
Yeah, I can.
Thank you.
Okay, this is recent discovery. So I became aware of it about 4 years ago. But one thing that really helped is telling my surrounding friends and telling them, hey, you need to keep me accountable for this. Because even my roommates really helped me. It's insane. And they tell me, like, no, Lorraine, like, you need to feel this. You know what I mean? And I'm like, is this a good idea? Tell me if this is a good idea. Should I do this? You know, I like usually run it past people. Sometimes I don't abide by it, you know? I'm like, I'm going to go my own way. But recently I just kind of just let go. You know, I just let go. And there's going to be times where I'm going to cry really hard, or you're going to cry really. I don't really know. I'm not God. Never mind. There was times where I cried really hard. And my friend would just like look at me like, holy shit, I've never seen you cry like that. You know what I mean? So what helps is like telling other people, can you help me with this? You know? And also being aware of your thoughts. And I didn't learn that in AA. I learned that in a book called The Power of Now. And so if you, yeah, The Power of Now, that really helps you. Like if you start to watch your thoughts, you know, and you are aware of what's going on in your mind, it that really helps too. And meditation. Haven't meditated in a while, but it does help. I can promise you that. That's all.
So unfortunately, it is time for us to end this meeting. But if any of the panelists are willing to maybe answer some of the questions that didn't get answered now, after the meeting, that would be awesome. So we're gonna close this meeting.